Who is this holy name? I'm waiting for an answer. Krishna. And why is it a good idea to develop a relationship with him? Why is that a good idea? We always, as intelligent people, we always have to have a reason for why we do things. We're not blind followers. So why do we want to develop a relationship with this holy name? Excuse me? He's all attractive. What's that? He's our ever well wisher. Nice answer. Anything else? Yes? Excuse me? Benefit us all the way. Okay, so good reason to have a friend. Best friend? Aha, that's an interesting answer. It's the original relationship. Any other thoughts? These are good answers. Thank you. Only alternative. There are many alternatives. Just have to look at the billboards to know that. You had an answer? Excuse me? Uh-huh, okay, very nice. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why is that a good reason to have a relationship with him? Why is that a good reason to have a relationship with him? Someone can be very great, but is that a good reason? Is that the only good reason to have a relationship with him? Okay, very nice. Any other thoughts? Yes. He's the source of everything that exists, so you want to hook up to that source. Huh? Okay, that's a good reason. So what I'd like us to do is to have a look at the reasons that Krishna himself gives in Bhagavad Gita. We can have maybe a few people to hand out. It'll move a lot faster then. Thanks. Maybe you can start from the back. Everyone have a sheet? So if you can kindly repeat the mantra after me, just to get a feeling for it. Nasti buddhiya yuktasya. Nacha yuktasya bhavana.
Nacha yuktasya bhavana.
Nacha bhava yatha shanti. Ashantasya kutashukam. Who has a strong voice that feels like reading the translation and purport? Anyone feel comfortable to do that? Okay, fine. Would you like to give the mic? Thanks. Straight through, purport and translation.
One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Unless one is in Krishna consciousness, there is no possibility of peace. So it is confirmed in the 5th chapter, 29th shloka, that when one understands that Krishna is the only enjoyer of all the good results of sacrifice and penances, that he is the proprietor of all universal manifestations, and that he is the real friend of all living entities, then only can one have real peace. Therefore, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be a final goal for the mind. Disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. And when one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with a steady mind, bring about peace. Therefore, one who is engaged without a relationship with Krishna is certainly always in distress and is without peace. However much he may make a show of peace and spiritual advancement in life, Krishna consciousness is a self-manifested peaceful condition which can be achieved only in relationship with Krishna.
Some very wonderful reasons for developing a relationship with Him. Transcendental intelligence, that will be very useful in today's age. Steady mind, peace, happiness. What do we want? So tonight we're going to have a look at the holy name, look at who He is, and also His world of reference. His world, as opposed to our world as we see it at this point in time. And in order to do that, we're going to go shopping together. Now I can see from the look on some of your faces that you're thinking, oh, I spent 45 minutes, hassle-filled minutes, getting through the traffic to come here. I'm thinking I'm going to sit peacefully and hear something about Krishna consciousness, maybe have a little prasad at the end. And now this Mataji is saying we're going to go shopping. Don't be worried. We're going to sit within the room and go shopping. It's a very special kind of shopping. So you can be relaxed, you can be peaceful. So the first thing that I would like to do is to have a look at what we need to do before we go shopping. If we want to save time, we want to save money, and we want to save energy. We live in a consumerist society. Even if we don't like shopping, we have to do it. We may be ill, hardly be able to raise ourselves out of bed, but where do we have to go for our medicine? We have to go to the shop, even to buy our computer equipment, if we have our own deities, everything, we have to go buying. So it's a paradigm that's well known to us. So what are some of the things that we do before we go shopping to ensure that we don't waste our time, that we don't waste our money, and we don't waste our energy? Anyone feel comfortable to come and write on the flip chart in nice big letters the answers that we get for this? Anyone have a good hand? Please come. Thank you. Try this one first, and if we fill it up, we'll go to the next one. Thank you. So what are some of the things that we do? Prepare a list. Can be quite bewildering if you don't. You don't prepare a list. You go to the marketplace, see all of these things, come home with everything but except what you wanted to buy in the first place. So it's a very good idea. Prepare a list. What's that? This is intelligent. Do a little research first. Compare prices, this kind of thing. Good. Yes. Excuse me? Look where you're going to actually buy. That's a good thing also. Did we get the second one? The second one was do a little research. Research. Second one. We can put it second. Yeah. And third one. Find the place that's best to buy the item. Just put find place will be fine. Anything else? Yes. Excuse me? Sufficient money. Has to be within our budget. Budget? Yes? That's a very good idea. Find a friend who already has what we want and go with them, or at least find out where they purchased it and whether they were happy with purchasing it there. Take advice from a friend. Anything else? Well, carry bag may be useful in some circumstances, but if we're going to buy a fridge, it may be a little difficult. So what we want to do is we have to think about transport, how we're going to take our items back to our home. This is a good point. Maybe a big carry bag for a fridge. Anything else? Time. How much time we have in hand? Yes? Brand. Is it a good brand? A lot of cheap brands on the market, they don't last very long. That's a very good point also. Anything else? Yes? Excuse me? In Bombay this is particularly important. Which route we're going to take to get to the shop? With the traffic jams here, you really have to consider this. Anything else? Yes? What's that? Season. There may be seasonal discounts. This is a good idea. Yes? How? Aha. Okay. Check with a few friends whether they have the same product and whether they're satisfied with it or whether it's broken in 3 weeks. Good idea? Yes. We have that one, budget, but it's the fact that you're saying it twice means it's something we really have to take into consideration whether we have the money for it or not. Okay, thank you very much. So what we're going to do now is to have a look at a very special marketplace. We're not only going to have a look, we're going to enter it. This marketplace is the marketplace of the Holy Name. And we're going to have a look at his price list first. Check our budget. So let's do that. Again, we'll need a few volunteers to hand out our sheets. Thanks very much. One more? Thanks. It's going to be a very difficult thing for you Bombay people to accept, but in this marketplace there's no bargaining. Everything is fixed price. So that is one thing you're going to have to come to terms with. Another thing that we have to be very careful is that we have the acceptable currency. We may have currency. We may have a lot of currency. But there's only one kind of currency that's acceptable on this marketplace. So if you have a look at the little tab at the top, we can read about that. Transcendental faith is the only acceptable currency. Our level of faith will determine what goods we can purchase. Any attempt to bargain with any other currency will be a complete waste of time. So this is giving us a little bit of an idea that this marketplace is quite different than other marketplaces we've visited. Another thing to keep in mind is that there are a number of items here. We see that there's a choice of 6 items that we can buy, but they are nested. Is anyone familiar with this term, this concept of nesting? Yes, would you like to explain it? One in the other. Sometimes you may have a friend that gives you a big box and you open it and there's another box inside and another box inside, another box inside. So in the same way with this, the first item is shraddha or faith. If we have that, then nishtha. If we have these two, then we can purchase ruchi. If we have these three, we can purchase a shakti. If we have these four, we can purchase bhava, like this. So what I'd like to do is explain these terms. They may not be familiar to you. And it is actually what we're doing here is looking at the journey back home. These are landmarks in the journey going back home. So shraddha, it means that our interest and our faith in the material world is shaky. We're realizing it's not what we thought it was. And we're starting to feel that maybe Krishna knows a bit more about how things work and that his advice is better than other advice that we've heard in the past. So we develop some faith. And then through that faith, there's a second one here, which is not on the sheet. It's not a separate item. But this is called Bhajana Kriya, Sadhu Sangha, and Anatana Vritti. So at this stage, we come into association with devotees. We like what they're doing. We like them as people. We like their values. We think, I want to be like that. So then we begin Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya means I start chanting Hare Krishna, I start reading Bhagavad Gita, these kind of things. And Anathana Vritti means we become very aware that there's a lot of rubbish in the heart that is a complete disturbance, a waste of time. And maybe it's better we get rid of some of it. It'll make life a lot easier. So when we manage to get rid of quite a lot of that rubbish, Then we reach what is called Nishta. Nishta means steady faith, very, very, very steady. Once that is there, then we can start to experience a taste or ruchi, actual taste for chanting, a taste for reading Bhagavad Gita, a taste for prasadam we always have, and a taste for the association of devotees. And from that we'll develop a firm attachment. When you really like something, say you really like pizza, it's not that you just like it or you have a taste for it, but you develop an attachment, isn't it? You have an attachment. And from that attachment comes the first stage, very first stage of pure love of God, like in a little seed form. Not fully manifest as a lotus would manifest, in seed form. And from that will come full and pure love of God. So we can see that this is a cost, whether we have these items, whether we have taste, or we don't. And in the item list, we have 6 items available for sale in the marketplace of the Holy Name. Let's have a look at the third one. Naam, which reveals Krishna's form and qualities. The price is ruchi. So what this means is that when you are chanting the Holy Name, spontaneously in the heart, Krishna's form manifests. And the mind becomes completely absorbed in his wonderful qualities. It's not that you're putting the mind under pressure, thinking, I want to think of Krishna's qualities, I want to think of Krishna's form. Not like that. Completely spontaneously, it enters the mind. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Like that. Let's have a look at number 5. This level of chanting the holy name means that not only is Krishna's form and qualities there, but also his pastimes are fully manifest in the heart. You don't have to watch Ramayana on TV. It's manifest in the TV of the heart. Don't have to pay a price. Don't have to go anywhere. It's there. Just have to put your hand in the bead bag. And oh, wonderful. And not only that, but there is an awakening of transcendental emotion within the heart. Now, we have all had experience of emotion, different kinds of emotion. But this kind of emotion is very, very special. It is so sweet. The taste of this emotion is so sweet and so blissful. It's intoxicatingly sweet and intoxicatingly blissful. Now I'm going to give you a little task, and I'm going to give you 5 minutes to do it. I want you to study this price lift of the Holy Name very, very carefully. And I want you to decide 2 things. In your heart of hearts, which item do you want to purchase? Second thing I want you to do is to be honest. Which item can I afford right now? Maybe a difference, slight difference. So I want you to do these 2 things. Read through, and in your heart of hearts, which one would I really, if I had an open choice, if I didn't have to pay the money, which one would I choose? And then, which one, if I have to pay the money, which one could I afford? I'll give you 5 minutes for that. Okay, let's see how we went. Please raise your hand if at this point in time you can afford what you really want. 1 person. Okay, and there's quite a few of us in the room. So the person who wrote on the board before, would they like to come and do that again? Would you mind? It's okay. So what do we do when we're in a circumstance where we really, really want something, but we don't have the money for it right now? What are some things we can do? Excuse me? Beg. Okay, it's not always successful, but it's one thing that we can try. Yes? Pray. You think if you pray for a fish, it'll come? What are some practical things we would do? Excuse me? Loan. Okay, take a loan. Borrow. 1 minute, we're moving a bit fast. Steal, that's an interesting one. Borrow. Steal. It's a possibility. Whether we get away with it or not is another thing. Yes. Aha, we can work harder. Yes. Yes. Right, we can make a plan for saving the money. What else? Yes. May take you a while to get your computer doing it that way. What is something else we could do? Yes. We could ask how are others, how they did it. Yes, that's a good one. Any others? We could print counterfeit notes. That's one possibility. Okay. Counterfeit notes. Counterfeit notes. Pay later. Credit system. Excuse me? We could? What's that mean? Aha, okay. Venture capitalist, that's called. That's a new one for me. Okay. We can approach somebody who can give us a loan, who has a vested interest in what we're doing. Okay, any others? Yes. Aha, purchase second hand. Yes, we could do that. I don't know how happy we'd be after 6 months, but we could do that. Any others? Any thoughts? What's that? Aha, we could do an exchange, yes. We could sell old things that we don't need to raise the capital to buy something we do need. That's a good idea. Pray to Krishna. Always helps. But you still have to do your part. This is the meaning of the two fingers short in the Damodar Lila. What do those two fingers represent? Endeavor and mercy. Both things need to be there. Okay, we've got a few things here. Now, what do they mean in terms of the holy name mark? First one is beg. How do we relate to that? When we're chanting, we can be begging for mercy. We can be begging the devotees who already have a very strong relationship with the holy name. We can be begging for their mercy. This is a nice one. What is the next one? Aha, this is an interesting one. What does that mean in terms of the marketplace of the holy name? Any idea? Yes? Very nice. Thank you. If we don't have the faith, we go into the association of those who do, and we take that association, and our faith becomes strong. Very nice. Any other thoughts on that, taking a loan? Okay, next one. Borrow. What does that mean? Any idea? Perhaps we can borrow a devotee's time. We can get them to take the time to explain to us, to answer the questions that we have. This would be an idea. Next one? What is the next one? Steal. Okay. How does that, how do we understand that in relation to the holy name's marketplace? Steal the mercy from devotees. How do you do that? No, I'm serious. I want to know that. How do you do that? Begging at their Lord. No, that's begging. That's not stealing. Oh, taking their remnants. That's one way. Yes, another way? No? Dust to their lotus feet. Anything else? How else can we steal in the marketplace of the holy name? What was that? How to steal. Oh, I see. That's a good idea, but I think that's a little bit different than stealing. And stealing means that you want it right now and you want exactly what you want, huh? Even if you don't have the qualification for it. One devotee gave a very beautiful answer to this, that we act in such a way that we steal the heart of a devotee and they feel obliged to be merciful to us. They feel obliged to help us. Isn't that wonderful? So that's something we can think about. What is the next one? Work hard. How do we do that? Excuse me? Ha-ha. Yes, that is hard work. Very hard work. So we chant, trying not to commit anam aparad. Very good. Now, does that automatically follow that if you work hard, you're going to save? Is it automatic that that will happen? That if you work hard, you make a lot of money, that you're going to save money? Is that automatic? Excuse me? You have to plan. That's there. So they're not necessarily, they don't work hand in hand necessarily, isn't it? You can work very, very hard, but then you may not save anything. So there's a very beautiful example of this in terms of the marketplace of the holy name. That the heart is like a beautiful earthen pot. And we're very, very busy, working very, very hard, filling that pot, filling that pot, filling that pot. But unfortunately, that beautiful pot had holes in it. So we're continually filling it, but it's continually running out of the bottom. Very unfortunate, isn't it? Working like an ass, working very, very hard, and everything we're putting into that pot is going straight out. So this is the importance of chanting without offense. Because those offenses, they are putting holes in the pot, cracks in the pot, and then what is the benefit? We can sit for 2 hours a day, try and control our crazy mind, put up with our aching body. Every day we can do that, undergo that austerity. But if we're not careful in relation to these offenses, we're working very, very hard and we're saving nothing. Who wants to do that? Do any of us want to work very hard and save nothing? Would you like to do that? Not a good proposition, is it? Okay, so something to think about. What is the next one? Make plan. Okay, what does this mean in terms of the marketplace of the holy name? What do plans indicate? If someone has a plan, what does it tell you about that person? Disciplined, serious, organized. He's using his intelligence. Excuse me? He's focused. Good qualities, aren't they? It's good to have a plan. So Krishna has given us the plan. This is the path home. So it's on us, it's our responsibility to say, okay, this is a plan he's given for me to go back home in this very lifetime. Maybe I should understand that plan. Maybe I shouldn't just go along mechanically. It's a good thing. If I chant a few rounds, the devotees think I'm a nice person. I get to take prasad at the temple, go on the yatras. It's a good thing to chant Hare Krishna. But is this the only reason? This is not the only reason. Main reason is Krishna has a plan for you. And if you understand that plan and you become a conscious cooperator, you can move very smoothly and very blissfully and very quickly along that path. What's the next one? Excuse me? Analysis. What was that? And who gave that one? Who gave that point? What did you mean by that? Okay, that's a very good point. So what we mean by analysis, thank you for that explanation, is that we talk to others who have also purchased. We see how they went about it, where they bought from, what difficulties they had, whether the company upheld the guarantee, what the service was like after we'd bought the object, isn't it? All these things. Sometimes the product and the salesmanship is first class, but trying to get the thing serviced can take months, isn't it? So that's a very nice point. Thank you. Next one? Ah, counterfeit merge. What does this mean in relation to the marketplace of the Holy Name? Excuse me? Imitation? Okay. Anything else? Counterfeit merge. Bhagavad Gita is counterfeit? I don't know what Krishna would have to say about that. What do we mean about counterfeit? What do we mean by that? Yes. Acting artificially? Yes. Excuse me? You mean it's not a real endeavor? It's an artificial endeavor? Real endeavor. That would be counterfeit notes? Talking about counterfeit? Yes. You'll have to speak up. Where is the mic? Maybe we can use the mic. That would be better. Yeah, let's do that. Then everyone can hear.
Practicing which is not prescribed in the disciplic succession.
Okay. Practicing something that is outside the line of disciplic succession. That can also mean, usually means, sahajism, taking things cheaply. I don't have the qualification, I don't have the sense of discipline, I don't have these qualities to practice the real thing, so I'll do something that's a carbon copy, not quite up to mark, like that. Taking things cheaply, and doing something that looks good, but actually has no foundation. No disciplic succession, no shastric reference, no guru that's bona fide. So much as this is going on in India in the name of religion, isn't it? Everywhere. Okay, next one. Okay. This was a nice one. So we have things that are lying around the house we don't need. We think, I'll sell those. And then I'll have the Lakshmi I need, I'll have the money I need to buy what I really want. What does this mean in terms of the marketplace of the Holy Name? Yes? Give up particular attachments, yes. Anattas, yes. What does anattas mean? Anatta actually means anatta, unwanted. Things that are unwanted. Not only are they unwanted, but they're a disturbance. You ever had that experience in your room? You know, we have a tendency to always be buying things. And it gets to a point that the room is so full, it's a disturbance. And one day you just have a big clean-up and throw half of it away, or give half of it away, something. Isn't it? We quite often do that. We can relate to that. So in the same way, if we want to really purchase a quality item from the marketplace of the Holy Name, then we might want to sell a lot of this rubbish, get a good price for it, and then we'll make our buying power a lot stronger. Now, what I would like to do now is move on, keep this in mind, but move on, because some of the other things that we mentioned earlier in our first list, would you like to turn over back to the first list? We mentioned things like where to buy, who to buy from. So what I would like to do now is to have a look at Naam's primary business outlets and his key personnel. Then we can have a good chance of buying at a proper price without too much endeavor. Thanks. Now, it's not many marketplaces that give you such a clear picture of the structure of the market and of who the primary people involved are. So we're very, very fortunate. Please raise your hand if you don't have a sheet so we can accommodate you. Okay, we need some over this side. We have a... not really. One more we have. Prabhu, perhaps you could... okay. Perhaps what you can do is do a head count so for tomorrow we have the correct numbers. Yeah? That would be good. Okay, so let's have a look at this. NAM's primary business outlets and key personnel. So interestingly enough, the storehouse, NAM's storehouse, is Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we take note at the bottom, Srila Prabhupada says that one must read Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and with scrutiny to gradually become attached to the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now, why do you think the Srimad Bhagavatam would be the storehouse? We're talking about the holy name. Why do we think Bhagavatam is the storehouse? Yes. Yes, it's glorification of Lord Krishna. Excuse me? Pastimes, yes. Very good points. Anything else? That is also there. We talk about the holy name as being Krishna. We also talk about Bhagavatam as being Krishna. But we see that Nam is like the seed. And it comes to full blossom in Bhagavatam. Isn't it? We read about Krishna's beautiful form. We read about his qualities. We read about his pastimes, his loving relationships with his devotees, his dharmas. Everything is there. So it's the full unfolding of Nam. So it is the storehouse of the holy name. The principal trader, this is a good person to know, develop a good contact with. Huh? Principal traders are very important people. And who is this? It's Nityananda Ram. Now this principal trader, he works in harmony with others at a financial level. They have vested financial interest in three different places. In Bengal, he's working with a Vedacharya. In Vrindavan, with Sri Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. And in Puri, with Sri Rupa Damodar and Ramananda Roy. So we can get an idea here. It's very interesting that regardless of where your taste lies, whether you're attracted to the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Vrindavan Leela or Puri Leela, the principal trader is the same. So it's a very good idea to have good contact with this person. Of course, then, if you already have a taste for a particular dham, you have an idea of who to approach, isn't it? But remember that they're share traders. They're not storekeepers. The storekeepers are different people. In Bengal, Sri Gadadhar Pandit, Sri Mataba Janavi Devi, Sri Mati Vishnu Priya Devi. In Vrindavan, Raghunath Das Goswami. In Puri, Paramananda Puri. Any questions on any of this that we've discussed so far? Any questions? Everything's clear? Yeah. Share trader means they have a financial link with the principal trader. And they may not have a store. They may be a supplier. So they have a financial or a vested interest with Nityananda Prabhu. And they're giving their products to the storekeepers. Like that. You notice it's not directly coming from Nityananda. It's coming through Advaita Acharya, Rupa Sanatan, Sri Damodar Ramananda Roy. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yes.
Can you please explain how these storekeepers. Can you give a glimpse of this nature of the storekeeper?
Who they are?
Yeah, no, who they are and what do they did actually? How they are considered to be a storekeeper?
Okay. So in Bengal we have Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit was a close friend of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inseparable from him, and the perfection of Vaishnavism. So by his mercy, if we have an attachment for Bengal and we are wanting to develop the good qualities of a Vaishnav, we can take shelter of him. If we want to become very, very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can take shelter of him. Srimati Janava Devi, anybody know who she is? Wife of Nityananda Prabhu. And believe it or not, she is even more merciful than Nityananda. Even more merciful than Nityananda. She would extend herself to the lowest people. After Nityananda left the planet and she went on Parikram to Vrindavan, she went through Eka Chakra, so many places. And the kind of people that she gave her mercy to was inconceivable. Dacoits, very, very degraded people. And she didn't do it through any forceful way. She did it in a very, very cultured way, in the way befitting a woman. I'll give you an example. When she got to Eka Chakra, she was there with some of her primary preachers. She got to Eka Chakra, and at that time, there were about 1,800 Narahari's, Shivites there. And they thought, this woman has just lost her husband. She is presently responsible for the Gaudiya mission. She's leading it. So if somehow we can expose her as being not unqualified for this position, expose her as an ordinary woman, then that mission is finished. And Shivite path can be more glorified. So they approached her. She was going to take Darshan of Monkey Rai, very close to there. And they said, they just approached her in a very rude manner. She's a very elevated person. She's the wife of the Supreme Personality of Servant of Godhead. They approached her in a very uncouth way. They said, if you're as elevated as we're told, if you actually fit to head the Gaudiya Vaishnav mission, then you see that tamarind tree? You make it bear fruit. That was their challenge. It wasn't the time for tamarind fruit. She didn't utter one word of reply to them. She closed her eyes and she meditated on the feet of her husband, Sri Nityananda Ram. And very soon, much to the astonishment of those Shivites, they saw not only fully grown tamarind, but fully grown mangoes on that tree. And in submission to her, they actually excavated a whole kund, which is called Svetaganga. It is still there to this day. You can still take darshan of that place where that Leela took place. So very, very powerful personality, but not the kind of power that we usually think of. When we think of power, we think of force, isn't it? Usually we think of force. But this was the power of chastity, the power of purity, the power of culture. This was the nature of her power. And she is very, very merciful. Anyone who comes to her, she is so blinded, like her husband, so blinded by prem, she cannot distinguish between the sinner and the pious, the offender and the faithful. Anyone who falls at her feet, she is merciful to them. Very, very wonderful personality. Srimati Vishnupriya Devi, who is this? Wife of one of the wives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also an extraordinary woman, extraordinary Vaishnavi, but very, very, very different in her nature. It's very interesting here, the personalities that we can approach are so very, very different. This is the nature of devotional life. It's individual. It's personal. So we may be attracted to Janava Devi, we may be attracted to Vishnu Priya Devi. We have different natures. So we're given a choice here. So with Janava Devi, when her husband left, she went into seclusion and she worshipped the deity of her husband as being non-different from her husband. She didn't go into white cloth. And how did she worship that deity? Constant chanting of the holy name in seclusion. With every round that she chanted, she'd put one grain of rice aside. At the end of the day, when she'd finished her chanting, that much rice she would cook and offer to her husband and take as her meal. Now once, just as a matter of interest, I tried this. Chanted 108 rounds on her appearance day, cooked 108 grains of rice. It filled the center of a rose this big. So you can imagine that she was very, very austere in her devotional practices. And very, very chaste. When Srinivas Acharya came to Navadvip, and he was so much in need of shelter, so much in need of mercy. Everybody that was dear to him was leaving the planet. And he knew that Vishnu Priya was still doing her bhajan. She was still here. She said, I want your darshan. I want your mercy. I need the mercy of the Vaishnava. She refused. Unlike a Vaishnava, but she refused. She did that out of chastity. I don't want to give darshan to a man. I'm chaste to my husband. We have to remember this is 500 years ago. The nature of women and culture was a little different then. But then he appealed to her, not in cultural terms, not in terms of body designation, but in terms of compassion. He said, if you don't allow me your shelter and your darshan, I'll go and drown myself in the Ganges. So immediately, please. She came, he came, took her darshan. But she gave condition. You can only take darshan of my feet. He took darshan of her feet, felt completely enlivened, satisfied, and then was able to continue with the Sankirtan mission. He's one of the primary distributors, first distributors of the books of our mission. So we can understand such amazing personalities we can take shelter of that are running these shops in the marketplace of the holy name. In Vrindavan, Raghunath Das Goswami. So Vrindavan, the mood there is very, very different than in Bengal. It's the place of Goswamis. And we can see that from the example of Raghunath Das. You have to be very, very serious to approach a person of this nature. He was lucky to take 4 or 5 drops of buttermilk in a day. He was lucky to sleep 1.5-2 hours a day. He chanted a lakh a day, paid 200 obeisances a day, and bathed at least 3 times a day in Radhakund. Very amazing personality. And he didn't do that through rigid discipline. He was so absorbed in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so absorbed in Radha Krishna, he forgot to eat. He forgot to sleep. Do we have that problem? There are other things we may forget to do, but we don't forget to sleep. And we certainly don't forget to eat. So this is the nature of this one. Vrindavan is a very, very special realm. It requires great qualification to enter this realm. Mayapur is a very merciful place. Advaita Acharya, very, very special. By his mercy, the lowest of the low can practice devotional service. It was he who called Mahaprabhu. Isn't it? So it's a different mood. We have to understand the dynamics of this because we want to enter this marketplace of the holy name. Which door are we going to take? If we take the wrong door, it may be a disturbance for us and for everybody else. So we have to be a little careful, a little introspective. Third one, Puri, Haramananda Puri. He and Swarup Damodar were seen as the right and left arm of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very, 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 very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this Mahaprabhu is a very special Mahaprabhu. The Mahaprabhu that appears in Navadvip, he gives the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy name. But the Mahaprabhu that appears in Puri, he gives Krishna Prem. He gives Prem Kirtan, that holy name that gives Prem. So if your aspiration, when we were looking at the price list, if number 6 was the item you were interested in, you may be wanting to find out more about Paramananda Puri. So we find that there are other things happening. That Nam also has bazaars, not just shops. And these bazaars, what are they? They're still here today. Places associated with the pastimes of Krishna and places associated with the pastimes of his devotees. To chant the holy name in these places is very, very powerful. You can build your capital very quickly by doing this. So if ever you go on yatra and you get the opportunity to perform Nam Sankirtan at the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the birthplace of Nityananda Ram, these places, take the opportunity. If you have a few hours to spare, sit and chant. You can build your capital very quickly here. Also, the 64-hour Mahants, or the associates of Nityananda, they all have bazaars. Nityananda, being the principal's trader, obviously he's going to have associates that are very much in his mood and very much wanting to serve the mission. Nam also has shops, traveling salesmen. Who is traveling salesmen? Preachers. Very good. And what is their sign that they are bona fide salesmen? Many kinds of salesmen these days. Anybody know what is the indication that they are a bona fide salesman of the holy name?
They don't adulterate with the goods they are selling.
Guru Parampara, that's there, definitely.
They don't adulterate with the goods they are selling.
That's what that?
They don't adulterate it.
They don't adulterate the goods they're selling. Very good. They have full information about the goods. These are very important qualities of salesmen. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that the true salesman of the holy name, he will carry as his name tag Gauranga. Gauranga. When we start our kirtans, we don't just go straight into the chanting of the holy name. We remember first who gave us the holy name, Srila Prabhupada, his pranams. Then, whose mission are we a part of? Gauranga. So Panchatattva, Mahamantra. Then the holy name. You find with many of the sahajistic groups, the ones that are self-made, it's only Nam. We don't need anything else. Nam is Radha Krishna. We're only interested in Radha Krishna. This Mahaprabhu is for people who are, not quite our caliber. like that. Okay. Now, we've had a look at the business outlets and the key personnel. What else is there that we have to be careful about when we go shopping? We've got some idea now. What are the items? What is the cost? I'm going to have to save. We've got some idea of the place to go, people to approach. What are some other things that we have to be careful about when we go shopping? Cheating salesman. Okay, let's see what Nam has to say about this. We're also going to have a look at counterfeit currency.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Of? Janavamasa. Oh, the 64 Mahants. These are the personal associates of Nityananda Ram, and all of them, their preoccupation is the distribution of the holy name. That is their primary concern, because they're associates of Nityananda, and this was a specific task given to him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you remember, Nityananda was actually instructed by Mahaprabhu to stay in Bengal, but his ecstasy was such, his love for Mahaprabhu was such, that he went to Puri anyway when it was time for Rath Yatra. And at the end of the rainy season, Mahaprabhu called him and said, I'm here, I'm practicing my bhajan, but if you are doing the same thing, who's going to liberate everybody? Who's going to do this work? So he said, you go back to Bengal. Back to Bengal, back to work. So he and his primary associates went with him, and their preoccupation was the distribution of the holy name. But it was a little bit different kind of preoccupation than we are usually think of when we use this word. Theirs was a form of absorption. When they were coming back, in those days you couldn't catch the Puri Express to go to Jagannath Puri. You had to walk, and it took some time. So their ecstasy was so great, their love of Godhead was so great, that quite often they would lose their way on the way. So what would usually take 1 month walk took them 3 months. Because in their kirtan, they weren't just trudging along, when's this going to finish? They're absorbed in kirtan. And they'd lose their way, oh! They would find their way, continue like that. And when they came back to Bengal, one of the primary places that they stayed, first of all, was a place called Panihati. Very, very wonderful place of pastime of Nityananda. He spent 3 months there performing Prem Sankirtan. Can you imagine it? Prem Kirtan. And it was so contagious that even the children of the village at that time were completely absorbed. Amazing. So one of my favorite places, actually, for Nam Bhajan. Very, very powerful place. Okay, let's have a look at shopping tips. First thing that we're being told of is beware of counterfeit currency. Now, we have to look at this in two ways. First way, am I carrying counterfeit currency? When we read this, we have to check our own wallet. Am I carrying counterfeit currency? If I am, when I walk into the marketplace with the holy name and I decide what I want to buy and I pull out my notes, I may be very embarrassed. So be very careful. Check your currency. The other thing is that there may be unscrupulous people in the marketplace that will try and give you counterfeit currency. So from both sides, we have to be very, very careful. Let's have a read of this. And while we're doing this, let's not worry about the other people in the market trouble and the marketplace that may give us trouble. Let's just check our own currency. Devotees who in their private life and conversation always discuss with faith Krishna and his service, and that service free from material desire, from desire for knowledge and the fruits of their activity, they have got the currency to purchase Nam. Where there is preoccupation and discussion of other desires, there are only counterfeit notes. If one tries to give such currency in exchange for Nam, he will receive counterfeit Nam, that is, Namabhas, a shadow of the real thing. Nam is always pure, but according to the currency of the customer, he may receive Nam, Namabhas, or Nam Aparad. Now you may say, I don't even need to pull out my wallet. I know where I stand. But there's something interesting here, that Nam is a very merciful personality. If we are chanting, not being careful about the Aparads, we're a Nam Aparadi. We can't even really enter the marketplace with the holy name. But If we are chanting, our hearts may be full of desires. So much might be there. But if we are chanting and trying to give up those anattas, then it's namabhas. Then some mercy from the holy name will come, some encouragement. Soon you'll be able to enter the marketplace. Please don't worry. Just keep on going, things will be fine. Huh? So it's not as drastic as it sounds when we first read. Let's have a look at the tips on cheating salesmen. We'll read them one by one, and if you have any comments or any questions about them, please raise your hand at that time so we can deal with them as we go. So tips on cheating salesmen. Such characters have no connection with reputed companies. That is, they're not properly connected with the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. This kind of person we have to be careful about. They're cheaters. They may sell you the goods, but not give you the manual or the warranty. Sounds a bit dicey. So what does that mean? It means that they underrate the importance of Guru, of Parampara, and of Shastra, not to mention Mahaprabhu and Panchatattva. And these are the people who are most important in this day and age. Third thing, and we all experience this one, they may try to pressurize you to buy goods you really can't afford. You ever had that experience? It's a common experience. What does this mean? They strongly preach above your level of realization and they cause you confusion and difficulty. These are the kind of people we really don't want to know. They may try to convince you to take a cheaper brand. What happens when we buy a cheaper brand? Easily broken, isn't it? And we've wasted our time, wasted our money, everything. We have to go through the whole procedure again, isn't it? We have to waste that time. We have to save the money again. This is not such a good idea. So these are the sahajas who take things cheaply and concoct their own shortcuts. Self-made gurus. No such thing as a real guru who's self-made. Becoming the disciplic succession. The best servant makes the best master. May try to enamor you with their personal charisma and expertise so that you will trust their choice of item. You go into a shop, the salesman is very charismatic. You forget exactly what you went in there to buy. You become absorbed in what he's saying and doing. You end up walking out of the shop with what he's offered you. You go home, look at the good. I'm not sure I exactly wanted that. What does this mean? They may claim to be rasic gurus who can give you raga nuga bhakti, or spontaneous love of God. But a bona fide guru never teaches that there's a difference between Krishna Nam and rasa, and nor does he preach about the level of realization and receptivity of his audience. If he does this, he's actually not qualified. It's a very good yardstick when you see so many gurus all over the place doing so many things. This is giving you some guidelines of who is bona fide and who is a cheat. And last but certainly not least, may try to convince you to buy on credit. That came up, didn't it? We talked about credit. So they'll offer you a level of nam bhajan that you don't yet have qualification to practice. This is a wonderful thing about Nam's marketplace, is that it's very safe and sure. If you keep to the primary traders, shopkeepers, you're very, very safe. Okay. Now, when we had... Do you remember this first sheet that we dealt with? Did you have one?
Okay.
Anyone else not? Please have to pass one back. Pass the feedback that way.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, can I ask two clarifications?
Yes, please
in the
do.
Previous sheet.
But please speak very clearly so we can understand your question.
The first question is that in the first paragraph here,
yes. Okay.
You are mentioning that the counterfeit note, counterfeit currency that will fetch you namabhas or apradh or something like that. So in the process of getting the prema, the real name, This namabhas comes as a previous step to the prema stage.
Yes, definitely.
So how can you say that this is a counterfeit note, because there are 9 steps involved into it?
It's counterfeit in the sense that it's not the real thing. But namabhas has the potential to become the real thing. This is the difference. But namaparad is not the real thing, and it's not going to become the real thing. But if we are taking shoulder of the holy name, trying to give up those offenses, then we have a chance that we'll come to the platform of prem. Like that. It's a difference between the kind, it's a fine line of difference between the two kinds of counterfeit.
I ask this question because in the discourses we have heard that if you are chanting with offenses, you may get so many other kind of stages. But namabhas is not included into that, so that's what I was little confused.
Actually, if we are chanting the level of namaparad, we can't go to nishta. We see here the steps that take us to prem, and we can't even reach the second one if we have namaparad. Namabhas, yes, we're moving towards nishta. But we can't even move towards it if it's namaparad. A very important point to understand. And Krishna is so kind that we're not talking about qualification. We're talking about sincerity. We're talking about sincerity. This is all he asks, sincerity. Yes? Please pass the mic, Prabhu.
I have one more question.
Oh, okay, fine.
Second question is that when you are mentioning tips of chanting salesmen.
Uh-huh.
So in that first such characters where you are mentioning have no connection with the reputed companies.
Mm-hmm.
And as a reputed company you are mentioning only Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya.
Uh-huh.
We have 4 authorized Sampradayas, so how can we say that this is the only reputed company?
Here we have to that's true, there are 4 reputed brands there or companies, but we have to remember that we're talking here the marketplace of the holy name. And it is manifest in this age as a Yuga Dharma through the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what you're saying philosophically is correct, but here we're applying it to the marketplace of the holy name. It's a more specific thing that we're looking at. Is that okay? You had a question?
Hello. Actually, it was pretty much the same question. So what I wanted to know is, does that mean that if we get the holy name from any other source other than within the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, it's not bona fide? Is it possible to receive the holy name outside of our Sampradaya?
It is possible to receive the holy name outside of the Sampradaya. There are 4 bona fide Sampradayas. But when we're talking the potency and the mercy of Mahaprabhu, if we have a little bit of intelligence, we'll choose the Gaudiya line. This is where it's manifesting most strongly. You can see that. Do we see the Madhvas active in Bombay? Do we? Is anything happening there? Are they helping anybody? This is the point. The Gaudiya mission is specifically to help everybody in this age. It's a mass movement. It's very, very powerful. So there are other, you may go into a shop and find many, many brands that are bona fide brands. But you're going to look for the one that will give you the best result as soon as possible, especially if you're looking for medicine. You don't want side effects. You want quick results. Isn't it? So in that way. Is that okay? Fine. Okay, let's go on. I wanted now to look at this first sheet that we gave. I don't know about your sheet, but on the back of my little slip it says, Maha Bonus Voucher. These are very useful things when we go shopping. Who can explain to me what this is? What is a Maha Bonus Voucher? No, talking shopping. Yes. What's that?
Discount.
Discount? No, discount's a different thing.
No, it's like if you go for hotel
Okay, this is a Maha bonus voucher. Very good. So you're saving yourself 95 rupees on a 100 rupee item.
Yes.
Very good. Yes? So this is something that we want, huh? Makes life a lot easier. You can walk into the store, you have an item that you want to purchase, it's 400 rupees. But when you go up, you have a special Maha bonus voucher. And you don't have to bring out your wallet and part with the 400 rupees. You just have to give this piece of paper. This piece of paper you give is, oh yes, madam, yes sir, here's your item, isn't it? Now this little one, this little thing that I'd ask you to do now, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to meditate on this. And this we will do individually. We're going to see whether we have this Maha bonus voucher. Whether we have it. And I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you whether you have it or not. This is a personal thing. Okay? I'm really making you work hard tonight, aren't I? So many pieces of paper. So when you receive this, kindly just read through it, meditate on it, and decide for yourself whether I have this or I don't. So what I'd like to do now is tell you a little bit about tomorrow's program. Tomorrow will be for performing heart surgery. We talked a little earlier about all these things in the heart that were causing us problems. So tomorrow we're going to be performing heart surgery. But please don't be in anxiety because the knife will be in your hands, not mine. Okay, so don't be worried. Also, I was told to expect a crowd tonight of maximum 100. We've just had a head count of 130. So what we'll be doing, my next little program that I'd like to do, is a distribution of prasadam from Vrindavan, as well as a little message from our beloved Prabhupada's Gurudev. He was a very, very intellectual, he was a genius actually. So if the language is a little high, don't worry too much about it. It may take some time, you may have to ask a friend in the form of a devotee to help you with it. But I do want you to take the trouble of praying to the Lord of your heart that you get the message that you most need to hear now. There are three different messages in the bag, and you choose one. The prasadam is all the same. It's from Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. We're going to start this side and work our way through this part of the room. This group over here means we were late. So what I want you to do, if you don't receive prasadam and the little note, little message, please give your name to Prabhu at the door, and tomorrow we can give it to you as well as tomorrow's little gift. Okay? What I would like to do is to have a kirtan until maximum 8:45, because I've only been in Bombay a short time, but I've understood that one of the greatest harassments are the billboards. They're terrible. So I thought what we'd do is at the end of the day, we'd take darshan of the most wonderful billboard in Bombay. Three-dimensional. Advertising the beauty and the sweetness of the spiritual world. So at 8:45, we'll go up and take final darshan of Radha Gopinath. It's a beautiful way to finish the day. And then we'll come down about 9:05, and Khichdi Prasad will be waiting for you. Does that sound like a good idea? Okay, fine. Very good. So please forgive us that we are a few packets short of prasad. Do give your name to Prabhu at the door, and we'll make sure that you receive tomorrow. Is it okay? Who's going to lead the kirtan? Would you like to lead again? Who do you suggest would lead the kirtan, Prabhu? Okay, fine. Would you like to start the packet? Just hand it through. Don't have to hand it yourself. Hare Krishna. So please come prepared for surgery tomorrow. Be on time. And what we'll do for those who didn't receive Mahaprasad this evening, as you go into the temple room, Prabhu will take your name. So make sure you give it to him tonight so that we can have everything prepared for you by tomorrow. Please accept my most humble obeisances. We'll go off to the temple now for that time.
That's
where we finish today.
Ki.
Ki.